Hi, this is Kathy from Groovy Golden Doodles, and thank you for tuning in to our Doodlecast. This time, I am super excited because I actually get to talk to somebody that I've been stalking for several months, and that would happen to be Jenna Lee from Jenna Lee Designer Doodles. So I want to tell you a little bit about my stalking, because this will be like confessions of a doodle mom. When I moved to South Carolina, I was inundated with people asking me about where they could find a golden doodle. And because of the things that I went through when I rescued but ended up paying dearly for Harley, who came not from a reputable breeder but from a puppy mill, I was so excited when I did get Leo and then Jackson from a reputable breeder, but they're all the way in Northern Virginia area. So I didn't know of anybody. And I started talking to people who had doodles because it's a very popular breed here in South Carolina, especially in Charleston. And everybody told me, Jenna Lee, Jenna Lee. Now, I didn't want a doodle, but I did want to get a chance to talk to her and meet with her so I could find out should she be the right golden doodle breeder for me to be able to refer the people that come to me about having a breeder to call and inquire and purchase a doodle from. But we never could connect. And then middle of last year, I received an email from a lady named Kelly Parker, and I know she's listening. So, Kelly, I'm just doing a shout-out to you. And Kelly had been reading my blog, and she also had gone to Jenna Lee to get a doodle. And so Kelly and I started talking. We met. And everything that I've ever heard about Jenna Lee, she just sounded like the perfect fit for Groovy Golden Doodles. And so I wanted to get a chance to know her and maybe perhaps be able to help people who come to me. I now comfortably and confidently can refer you to Jenna Lee Designer Doodles because she would definitely be where I would go for another doodle. So a lot of you have written and called and commented on my blog about straight coat doodles, about finding the proper doodle, and, you know, like doodle beware from those that are not reputable doodle breeders. So I wanted to just kind of sit down and have a talk with Jenna Lee and see if she could help weed through the things and help us navigate so that your experience with your first golden doodle or second would be as much fun as Kelly Parker is experiencing and as I've been blessed to experience with mine. So, Jenna, why don't you say hi and then tell us a little bit about you and your journey to where you are now.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. This is the first time I've done anything like this, so you get to experience it with me for the first time here. I have been stalking you a little bit too. I've heard about you from a couple other people, so I'm kind of counter stalking you. So, but I get this question all the time. Oh, and one other thing, I get another thing all the time, and everybody thinks my name is actually Jenna Lee. My actual name is Jenna Stone. My maiden middle name was Lee. And so my husband loved that name. And so he kind of made the business after that. But if you ever meet me or anything, my name is actually just Jenna. But people call me Jenna Lee all the time, and I just start answering to it. But just if anyone meets me on the street or something.
Good to know.
Yeah. I get it all the time. But so kind of how I got started doing this, I'm battling a cold. I grew up breeding labs. My family bred them very unprofessionally, I will say. But it was still kind of like my favorite time of the year. Like we had so much fun every time we did it. It was probably only about once a year at the time, but I was kind of a weird kid that after that, after like maybe 2 years, I was like, I want to be a breeder whenever I grow up. So I was the only one at career day saying that, I can tell you that. But so I actually got derailed from doing that for probably about 10 years. I actually worked in the music industry for that time. And that is where I met my husband. And after we got married, we both kind of got off the road. And I was like, you know what? Now that I'm off the road, I'm settled again. I decided I was going to get another puppy. And so He's actually allergic to dogs, and so I couldn't get another lab. And I actually kind of wanted a golden because goldens usually are a little bit calmer than labs. But since he couldn't have a golden because of his allergies, we found golden doodles. And so that's kind of how we got to that point. And that was Pettibone that we got our first girl. And then probably 5 months later, I had to have another one. And obviously you need two to make puppies. So Armani came to us after about 5 months. And so he is my baby. And yeah, so kind of from there, that's kind of how we've gotten started. And we've been doing this again. Pettibone is about 6 and a half. So it's been about 6 and a half years. Our first litter was probably about 5 years ago. So yeah, that's kind of how we got started.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So let's dive right into the coat. I remember when I was looking and doing research online, and one of the things that fascinated me is they talked about Golden Doodle's coat is going to change at least 3 times the first 12 months of his or her life. And to be honest with you, I've looked at a lot of puppies and I've looked at a lot of dogs that are, you know, closing in on that first year. And I really have to be honest, I don't understand clearly how to look at a puppy at 9 or 10 weeks old and determine whether they're going to be curly or wavy. Harley, to me, has almost like a really soft cotton afro. When he gets soaking wet, he reminds me of Bob Marley because it just twists and it just hangs. And he kind of looks like a mop. Jax, I think, has that wavy hair, but when you get to the end of it, the tip just kind of curls up. Where Harley is just, you know, those, what is it, that weed that grows the pussy willow and you grab it and you blow it? And all of it just flies all over the place. That's kind of what Harley is like. But Jax has got more of the traditional curly wavy hair. So can you walk us through, especially those people that are looking at puppies, and the breeder says, well, what kind of coat are you looking at? And most people are going, don't know. Can you walk us through what the differences are, what it looks like? And then we'll get to the what I call the intriguing straight haired doodle.
Yeah, this is these are questions that we deal with all the time. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are really concerned about the look of the coat. We usually try to start whenever people ask us about, you know, what kind of coat is good for me. Usually we ask them, like, if they have any, like, needs as far as, like, allergies, because it's so closely related. Usually, like, the curlier coats are going to be a little bit more hypoallergenic than the wavy coats, not necessarily always, but if you're looking for a rule of thumb, that's kind of what we say. But whenever they're like, so even when they're born, I had a litter born like 2 days ago, so it was fresh for me. But so kind of the curlier coats, even like if you're looking at puppies, like if you're on a list and you're seeing them when they're born, the ones that look like, almost like they have finger waves, that those are usually going to be the ones that are curly. So the ones that like look really like zigzaggy coats almost, those are usually going to be curly. And the ones that don't have quite as much of that, usually those are going to be more on the wavy side. And so it's almost easier to tell to me whenever they're like little babies, like under 2 weeks, because their coats aren't quite as puffy at that point. After that, they start puffing out, and so it's a little bit harder to tell. But usually, like, so if you're a person that's just like looking at pictures of puppies and trying to decipher, is this a curly coated puppy or is this a wavy coated puppy? Looking in their face is usually the best place to look. Because if you're looking all over their body, like it kind of like I said, they get so puffy. It's like a little bit hard to tell, especially most people are going to put up pictures of them after they've had like bath and blowouts. And so usually if you look in their face, you can see like that it looks a little bit more like almost zigzaggy, like tighter on their face. That's usually the easiest way, I think, that you can tell between like just the wavy and curly. Also, like that gets into generations a lot. So most people actually do a lot of research, I feel like, before they come in and like try to find a breeder and do all of that. They usually kind of know what generation they think that they're looking for. Like, are yours F1s or F1B, or do you have one of both? Is that correct?
No, I have both of mine are F1.
Oh, okay. So it's actually a really good example of it then, because so it sounds like you got one that's a wavy and one that's a curly. And so, like, the generations only matter so much because, like, if you got two F1s, you got one that's curly, one that's wavy. One got more of the poodle side and one got more of the retriever side. So the generation can only tell you so much about the coat. So I think that, like, every puppy is different. You can have a whole litter of F1s and half curly, half wavy. So, yeah, that's kind of the long and short of it, I think. So, but if you're just trying to look and, like, tell which one you're going to get, just look at their faces. But really the breeder should be able to tell you if they have been really paying attention to the coats and everything. They should be able to tell you relatively easily, you know, what you're looking at. Like, I can look at my newborn litter right now and I can tell you, you know, there's six curly and three wavy. So,
and you can do that by the face?
I mean, I can just do it by, mostly you can just see it on their head is where it comes out the most, but
okay.
Their whole bodies, when they're little like that, they're just kind of slick. They're like little seals almost. So their coats are like as flat as they're ever going to be, or like not flat's not the right word. But they're just sleeker, I guess, is more like
okay.
It is when they're babies. So it's a little bit easier to tell because they're not like all puffed out. And so when it comes to them changing over time, I don't think that there is like, oh, it changes at, you know, 3 months and then it changes at 7 months and then it changes at 10 months. Really, like, the main change that I see, just because I have my puppies go home at 8 weeks, so I see them all the way from newborn to 8 weeks. So usually they're pretty, like, sleek and slick and everything until about three-ish weeks. And that's when their coats start changing a little bit. They get a little more puffy. And then 6 weeks rolls around, and then, like, we're getting really to puffy town. after that, they kind of stay that way a little bit. They're going to be a little bit more puffy, but you can always see, like, if you know what you're looking for, you know, you can kind of always tell the underlying. It's like, again, if you look at their face, you can always kind of tell, like, this is a little puffier, or this is a little bit wavier, or this is a little bit curlier. But another thing that is, like, helpful to note, I would say, usually around 10 months is when they start blowing their puppy coats, which are also puffy coats. So I would say that is something to always look for, because I get emails all the time from my puppy parents, and their puppies are, like, 10-ish months. And they're like, I thought the dog wasn't supposed to shed. Like, it's shedding. Like, yeah, just give it, like, a month and a half. They're going to blow their coat, and they're going to start getting their adult coat in around 10 months.
Yeah.
Sometimes the smaller ones, if you have, like, a mini doodle, sometimes they'll blow them a little bit earlier. A bigger one sometimes a little bit later. But that's the one big change you're going to see.
Okay. And so let us there walk down the hall, the hallway, as I say, to this discussion about the straight-haired doodle.
Yes,
I'm just
so
curious,
that is
this new in terms of relatively to the age of, you know, the golden doodle conception? I mean, I just haven't paid attention, but I don't recall being aware of a straight-haired doodle until after I had Harley.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I think that people are just more aware of it now. I don't think it's ever been, it's not like a thing that people are breeding on purpose, or they originally they weren't breeding on purpose. But there's kind of been more of an interest of it in it now, I think. But so it's kind of interesting. It's actually like, this sounds like such a judgy term, but it's called incorrect coat, is a lot of times what that is whenever they have that straight coat. And it almost looks a little bit wiry. You've probably seen those that have, like, the kind of wiry-looking coats that are straighter?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't want to make sure I wasn't, like, you're like, I have no idea what you're saying.
No. I was listening to you.
Yeah. So the incorrect coat is usually what causes the straighter hair. And so the golden doodles get that from the retriever side. Poodles don't really have incorrect coats, but the retrievers do. So most of the time, a lot of F1s are going to carry for the incorrect coat gene. So a lot of times, if you were to breed two F1s together, you have a high chance of getting an incorrect coat because each of them has a 50-50 shot at carrying that gene.
Huh.
So But the further you go, the more poodles in the breed, the less chance you have of them being an IC carrier. And it is, it's a test that most breeders do. So if it's like a reputable breeder, most of them are going to test for IC because most breeders don't want to produce IC dogs that are going to have that flatter coat because most people don't want them just because the IC also associates with more shedding. And most people that are going to get a golden doodle don't want a dog that sheds because a lot of times that's the reason they're getting a golden doodle. Like maybe they've had a golden in the past and they love the personality, but they don't want to deal with another, you know, 12 or 15 years of shedding.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if, I mean, I've seen a couple breeders now that have like started trying to produce the straighter coats, but it's a little bit like going backwards and breeding golden doodles because you're having to breed more retriever in. And so it's kind of a tricky gene because it's like not a super reliable one. And the test is pretty reliable for the incorrect coat, but it also has to work with it's another gene that they kind of, it's like kind of a new test in the, you know, dog genetics world. And it's for shedding. So it's an actual shed test that you can test for now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is, it's crazy. And honestly, I don't know if it's very reliable yet. They'll probably, I'm sure they'll be improving the test as time goes, but I've tested all my poodles for it because I had one random puppy one time that should, there was no way it should have been IC, and it ended up not being IC, but it just looked like it may have been. It actually outgrew it and everything was fine, but I tested all my poodles for shed, and like all of them came back with a different result, and none of them shed because, you know, they're poodles just don't shed. So I don't know, I don't think it's all the way. They haven't worked out all the kinks in it, I guess, with the test, but they're working on it, which is going to be really helpful if it gets kind of a little bit more standardized and they get a little bit more information on how to test the gene really well. But kind of the combination of the IC gene and the shed gene is kind of what is going to produce that flatter coat and like determine how much shedding you're going to get on a dog with a flat coat. And again, most breeders don't want to produce the flat coats just because, you know, it's going to shed and a lot of people that are getting puppies from them don't want shedding. And so, you know, if we produce dogs that shed and then we have clients that are upset because the dog sheds, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose a little bit.
Yes. And, you know, I'm wondering, though, when you were talking about the test, if this is something that prospective doodle pet parents would want to know about, would want to ask, mm-hmm. If the breeder is actually doing the IC test?
Yeah, I mean, I think most breeders that I know of that are pretty reputable, most of them do because they want to avoid producing that. But yeah, I think that's a great question to ask a breeder. Like if you're looking for, if you have like a really serious allergy needs, or if you're looking for a flatter coat, then I think that's a good question to ask a breeder. Just so you kind of know and you have a little bit more information. Because if they're a reputable breeder, they're going to know what the incorrect coat gene is. They're going to understand that and, you know, be looking for people that are informed and want to ask those questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because that just seems to be a lot of people are attracted to either the curly or the wavy. But now what I've noticed based on a lot of the requests that I've gotten, they are starting to look for the straight-haired golden doodle. And I'm wondering if it's because they're truly seeking the best of both worlds, you know, the reduced shedding with mm-hmm. the golden retriever look. So, but
yeah.
Everybody has a preference. I don't mm-hmm. think I was spending a lot of time on the look as much as I was the temperament of the dog. But everybody has a preference.
Yeah, and like I'm with you, I understand that. But yeah, I think if you're just looking for those specific things, it's a little bit, it's hard to find. Like if you're looking just for that straight coat, because most people like don't want to produce it. And if you're trying to look at the best of both worlds, I mean, any golden doodle that you're going to get, almost any golden doodle, I won't say any, is going to shed less than a golden retriever. Even if you get an incorrect coat golden doodle, it's not going to shed like a golden retriever. But it's also not going to look, it's not going to have the same look. So if you're basically just wanting a golden retriever that doesn't shed, you know, that's, it's a little bit hard. It's hard to produce that, and they're not going to have quite the same look. Usually the incorrect coat ones have a little bit shorter, like hair on their face and stuff like that. They can look a little bit different. But yeah, I'm always wondering that too, because every now and then we get a request for straight hair. And so we always try to ask the questions like, hey, like, you know, what are you trying to accomplish with the straight hair? Do you just like the look of the golden retriever better, but you just don't want to deal with the shedding? So, I mean, I think it just, every person is just different with what they want. And so, you know, I would say that's a great question to ask your breeder too, like what they would recommend if you're looking for a straighter coat as far as like what they have coming up, their generations and stuff like that.
So, you know, this is a great lead in to the next subject that I wanted to talk about. What is your advice, Jenna, as a golden doodle breeder with an outstanding reputation? How does somebody find you or someone like you? Because I've had the best of both worlds. I had a horrific experience with Harley, but I have always felt, and I've shared this publicly on the blog, that Harley was supposed to be mine. And so I don't have any regrets in that thought. But how do you, so many people write me and they have had such difficulty. Like we were talking earlier with Doodle Kisses, which I'm a huge, we both said that we're a huge fan, and they have an excellent article that just came out today. So if you want to learn more about the doodles, it's called Brands Versus Doodles, and it was a very good article on the Doodle Kisses forum site about, you know, everything is not the same, and you're trying to get the right temperament and the right personality, and you want that dog that's going to be playful and doesn't growl, it doesn't snap or nip at your children, but you have to remember that each individual dog is going to be different. And so a lot of it does, not all of it, but a lot of it does circle back to the actual breeder. So when somebody just wakes up and decides, I'm ready now to get a golden doodle, how do they go about finding the proper breeder? I mean, where do they start their search?
Yeah, so this is something that I think everybody obviously is going to deal with. So I think the first thing most people are going to do is just go to Google and be like, how do I find a good breeder? or they're going to go to like maybe one of the breed specific websites or something like that. But golden doodles don't really have so much of that because they're not recognized by the AKC. But the first thing you really want to look for, a lot of people want to just like go to somebody that's local, which I totally understand. That's what I do with a lot of my dogs too. But the first obvious answer is health testing. You want to make sure that wherever you get your dog, they're doing some form of health testing. The more, the better, really. The hip testing, especially for the larger dogs, is super important. So I would say definitely look for somebody that does OFA or pin hip testing on their larger dogs. A lot of times the smaller ones, really like stuff like that doesn't affect them because they're so little. That, you know, hips are not as much of an issue for them. So I would say definitely like look for hip testing is one of the top ones. And there's also a ton of genetics labs now. So a lot of breeders will just use one of the paw print, or that's one of the genetics labs, or Embark or something like that, that they've done some genetic testing on the dogs just to make sure that, you know, they're healthy and they're of breeding quality. And then the other thing I would say probably just call around and just see how you feel about the people that you're buying from. A lot of breeders that are kind of like on the same level as I am, they're going to offer lifetime support with their dogs. And we definitely do. And so I think, you know, call around and just like talk to the person and see if you feel like you can have a lifetime relationship with this person if you need to. Like you might not need to, you might get your puppy and be on your merry way and never call that person again. But if you do need something, you know, I think it's important to like talk to somebody that you feel like is going to answer your question, is going to, you know, be reliable, is going to be able to like understand the issues that you're going to go through with having a puppy, because everybody's going to go through teething and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So, and then I would say just like making sure that they're like super willing to answer all your questions, that they seem like they know what they're talking about. Most breeders, I think, that are really doing it for the right reasons and everything too, are also going to be over the moon willing to brag on their dogs. That is, we've, through the years we've gone through a few different people, helping us with like our sales. I did it in the beginning, and every person that called, I would tell them, like, you need to get a puppy from Armani because he is my favorite of my dogs. Obviously, I didn't, everybody actually didn't need one from him, but I would tell them, you know, this is my favorite of all my dogs. And then one of the other girls that worked for us, every time that someone would call, it'd be like, her favorite dog. And so just, I think the breeders just need to know the temperaments in all the dogs. So if you're calling about, like, this one litter, you can ask them, like, hey, what is, you know, Bella like? Or what is, you know, Sadie like? Just so you can kind of understand, like, the dogs and what the temperaments are and what the, you know, so you can kind of get a better feel for, like, what your dog is going to be like. Because if you want one that's, you know, really playful, you obviously want to get one from a little bit more playful parents. Stuff like that. So, to me, a lot of, sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. sorry, my cough is killing me over here. So, yeah, I think just, like, really, like, someone that you feel like you can work with and someone that seems like they know what they're talking about and is doing it for the right reasons. I think if you talk to anybody like that on the phone, like, you can feel it out pretty quickly if they are doing it for the right reasons. And if they're willing to let you, like, have some kind of glimpse into their world. We have people, like, literally probably every day ask if they can come over and meet the dogs. And I, like, 1,000% understand why they're doing that, because they're trying to avoid, you know, a puppy mill situation, which, you know, I understand that too, because the breeders kind of get a bad rap because of the puppy mills. But we like really cannot accommodate that many people because it's a sanitation issue for the puppies. Okay. If we have like too many new people coming in, it's not that we're trying to say, no, you can't come because we're trying to hide something. We're saying you can't come because it's a sanitation issue for our puppy. And so if that's something that is you're hearing from like whatever breeder you're maybe working with, then that's, to me, that's like a perfectly reasonable answer. But at the same time, like if they're not willing to maybe like do like a FaceTime or some kind of like a video call to like prove that, yes, they're like a normal person that's not trying to scam you and is not trying to do anything like, you know, weird and, you know, I don't know. They just need to be able to be transparent, I guess, is all I'm really saying. to me, that's like the biggest part about being a breeder and proving that you are, you know, a normal human that's not trying to scam you. Because we deal a lot with the puppy mill situation, and we just want to like prove our credibility as much as anything.
Sure, I understand that. You know, I'm looking at your website, and I've looked at it before, and I'm going to encourage all those that are either listening to this Doodlecast or are going to read the blog post. I highly recommend that if you have any questions about the Golden Doodle breed, wanting to understand the generations, even down to the shedding concerns, how to adopt, just good Q&A. It's the different coats, colors, and patterns, how to determine what the best gender is going to be for you. All of these things can be found on Jenna Lee Designer Doodles. I think that we've gone past our 30 minutes, but I did want to ask Jenna one more question. I find this to be fascinating, because even though she's located in Charleston, South Carolina, should you be anywhere in the country, Jenna is willing to travel and bring your doodle to you. So, Jenna, why don't you talk about how you transport your dogs to their forever homes?
Yeah, that's something we have started doing a lot of lately. I think there's a lot less breeders on the West Coast. We've been doing a lot of flying puppies out there. So obviously, I'm sure probably at least half of your listeners have heard on like Facebook and all over the place about all the issues with shipping puppies via cargo. And how scary that can be. So we will not ship a puppy cargo. I did it one time to a breeder friend, and I cried on the way home. And I was like, okay, I can't ever do that again. That was horrible. She was fine. Nothing went awry. But from that point forward, we were like, okay, we're just going to fly with them if we have to fly them. One of our people that works for us, or a lot of times it's me myself, because I actually really love to travel too. So it's kind of a good excuse for me to go. But so we fly with them in a cabin. They usually just ride under the seat unless they're a little bit bigger. We have like a training program, so sometimes the puppies go home a little bit bigger. And so if that's the case and they'll fly, we'll just get like an extra seat and they'll just kind of lay down and make themselves at home on the plane. So, but yeah, every time we fly there, it's one of our team members that go with them, or, you know, or me. And when it comes to driving, we'll just obviously just take them in one of our cars and make it as comfortable for them as we can. We just don't want it to be traumatic for them in any way. So
I think that's outstanding. And I really wanted to touch base on that because I have people that inquire about where's the best place for them to get a dog, and they don't mind traveling. But what ends up happening is that I had no clue how you would get a dog from Charleston, South Carolina to Denver, okay, or Cleveland.
Yeah.
And so this is very helpful, because that seems to be a growing concern for people who reach out.
Right.
So thank you very much for sharing that. And
yeah.
I'm going to really, really encourage everybody that listens to this Doodlecast or reads the blog post, where you'll see pictures of Jenna and her babies that she loves and takes care of so well, to visit her website. And if you're thinking about becoming a golden doodle pet parent, then give her a call, or you can reach her via email, which you can have all of her contact information on her website, because Jenna Lee, who is not Jenna Lee, but we're still going to call her Jenna Lee, because I like to say Jenna Lee.
You go for it.
She is officially the golden doodle breeder for Groovy Golden Doodles. I like talking with her. She's always made herself available. I've seen her puppies. I've talked to her pet parents. Like I said, I've done my homework. And so I am honored and very happy to have her sit on our website. So, Jenna, thank you very, very much. And this was great fun.
Yeah, it was. I hope we can do it again sometime. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah. We'll find some other things to talk about. You take care, okay?
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.